Angus beer. I'm doing the beer run. Tequila kind of beer or?
Angus, our favourite beer.
The Mexican beer.
The Mexican beer, man.
What's it called?
Guys, welcome to the WOA FM 99 radio show, episode 2 of season 27 today. And it's a Sunday special again. I've got Nita Perez and Phil Kanakis joining me from two different locations for a wonderful in-conversation show. So stick around for that. We've got a lot of fun stuff that we're talking about. I did put Phil on the spot and he was a bit nervous for some of the questions. But it was a great fun show, so do check it out. And Nita Perez, her new single out called Lighthouse. So let's give that a listen as well. But without further ado, let me introduce to you our certified indie songs of the week, okay? A lot of these artists have sent in radio plugs, you know, saying hello to all the fans listening in. So be sure to check those out. And please do go online and share the episode and put comments of the favorite songs from the episode, because the artists are all eligible for a WOA Music Award, which happens in January. We're going to have a gala event, our first annual WOA Music Award ceremony. So every artist that we play on the WFM 99 show is eligible for a nomination and then an award, of course. But it all depends, of course, on the quality of the songs and what we choose, etc. But also on the fan sort of reaction and the fan support, okay? So if you like the song, put in a comment, write into us, things like that. Without further ado, let's get on with the show. So we kick off with I Wanna Believe by Mac Daddy Review. Asa Mikowski from the band is saying a big hello to everybody and telling you about their wonderful success that they've had just yesterday and day before yesterday. They were number one in the UK with this brand new single called I Wanna Believe, and they hit number two in the US. So the good thing is that they were, the company they kept on the blues charts, official blues charts on iTunes, was Chris Stapleton / Joe Bonamassa, all these guys. So they toppled Chris Stapleton and / in the UK to get the number one spot. But in the US, Chris Stapleton and / kept it at number one, and Mac Daddy Review was a strong number two for a long time. Okay, so this is a song, I can't stop singing it. It's in my head all the time. And I'm not just saying this because they're a WOA artist. And I'm very proud that they're a WOA artist. We support these guys full time. But the song is really so catchy. You just can't stop humming it. You know, I'm getting to a point that I'm going, I need to listen to another song that will get in my head, because all I'm doing is humming this song. So it's a wonderful song, I Wanna Believe by Mac Daddy Review, followed by another great track by a WOA artist called Gary Drano. And this is from Utah, by the way. And his song is called Body Wise. I think he's a phenomenal songwriter and composer as well, because this song is just... It's almost on the feel of this song is more like Daughters by John Mayer, you know, that kind of feel. And the lyrics are very deep lyrics, but at the same time, very mainstream. But at the same time, he's also got his independent roots very strong, you know. But high production values, high musicianship, everything is just done very professionally. And which is what independent artists should strive for, to because you're competing with million-dollar projects, so do whatever you can to make it perfect. Perfection, you know, you have to. That is one of the main things you got to think about when you're making a song. Well, after Gary Drano with Body Wise, by the way, Gary will be on the show very soon for an interview with me, so we'll be getting to know Gary Drano better. He's got some amazing songs, by the way. So after Gary Drano, we've got another great act called Wicked Nights, who are going to be featured on our Independent Number Ones Volume 14. This is their song called Smile, and they've sent in a lovely radio plug for all our fans, so have a listen to that. And then, of course, Nita Perez and Phil Kanakis, who's a co-producer on Nita Perez's song, will be joining us. It's more a Nita Perez interview, but Phil Kanakis is also coming in as a featured artist on the interview, okay? So it's a real fun interview. I loved it. It was great fun. So after Nita Perez and Phil Kanakis joining me for the interview, we feature Lighthouse by Nita Perez, her brand new single. It was released a couple of weeks ago, but we're playing it now. We played it last week as well, by the way, so if you want to listen to last week's show and the week before, some fantastic artists, very informative interviews and in conversation sessions that I had with Natalie Jean, Kit Wakely, Lonnie Park, Charu Suri, you know, all great, great musicians. So go check those interviews out. So after Lighthouse by Nita Perez, we've got Blues for My Baby by WOA artist Rhett May, all the way from Australia. So this is a great song. I really, really like this track. And WOA is getting behind this song in a big way. So we're really hoping all the support our fans are going to put in for Rhett May is going to really take him to the next level, because he's a fantastic artist. He's also going to be featured on, he's actually being featured on the Goa Chill Out Zone Volume 13, which releases next week, actually. So on 30th of April, that album will be out. It's available for pre-order now. So please, please go download that album on iTunes. Pre-order that album on Amazon, and you can then download it everywhere else as well. But as of now, it's available for pre-order exclusively on Amazon UK, Amazon US, Amazon Australia, all of that. So if you do that, if you pre-order it, it'll help this album hit the charts in a big way, okay? So Rhett May with his new song, Blues for My Baby. This is another song, not the Goa Chill Out Zone song. It's a different track, okay? And last but not least, we've got another Goa Chill Out Zone Volume 13 artist, Alan Gruner, featuring Jill Hunt. And this song is called When the Sun Comes Up. I just really, really love this song. It's like a perfect song for the Goa Chill Out Zone, okay? It talks about sun, it talks about the beach, the music is about electro chill sound. It's just absolutely the perfect fit for the Goa Chill Out Zone. I end the show on this song today, but it's also to leave you feeling really happy after the show, okay? So Alan Gruner with Jill Hunt. I'm hoping to listen to more stuff from Alan Gruner. So that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show, and see you next week. Some great artists coming up live on the WOAFM 99 show in conversation with me. Cheers, bye.
Hi, this is Asa McCaskey with Mac Daddy Review, and you are tuned into our favorite show, WOAFM 99 with Oliver Sean. Stay tuned to hear our brand new single, I Wanna Believe, which hit number one on the official iTunes Blues charts in the UK and number two in the US this week.
I wanna believe, help me. Alone I just stray, for your love I pray. need someone to lean on. I need someone, someone, baby, to lean on. Alone I'm adrift. True love is a
Hi, this is Gary Drano from beautiful Park City, Utah. You are tuned into WOAFM 99 show with Oliver Sean. Stay tuned to hear my single, Body Wise, which is going to be featured on the number one charting compilation series, Independent Number Ones, Volume 14, coming soon.
Hi, this is Jags.
And Laura.
From Wicked Nights. And you're tuned into the WOA FM 99 show with Oliver Sean.
Stay tuned to hear our single Smile, which will be featured on the multiple number one chart topping compilation,
Independent Number Ones, Volume 14.
Right.
Right, folks, so we're back in the studio today, and I've got two special guests from different parts of the world. One of them is in New York, and the other is somewhere in New Orleans, somewhere close to New Orleans. And it's Nita Perez and Phil Kanakis, my dear friend for years now. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
Great.
We're doing good.
Yeah. How are we?
So Phil sounds like he's really scared. He's like, oh, I better stay in the background. No, come on, man. Say something.
How are you, Ollie? Long time.
I'm good, brother. I'm good. We missed each other in Las Vegas. You couldn't make it. I made it. But then I haven't made it to any of the others in Los Angeles, though. But hopefully, hopefully this year or next year, we sort of catch up for the next Grammys.
One day in person.
One day in person. So, Nita, you've got a brand new single out today. You've got a brand new single out today.
Yes,
called,
sir.
Called Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be playing it today, and I'm going to be listening to it for the first time along with all our listeners who tune in. We've got thousands and thousands of listeners around the world who love tuning in and discovering new acts and stuff like that. So, by the way, folks, listening.
Oh, now you're making me nervous.
By the way, guys, Nita is only 16. Oh, she sounds like only 16. She's 16, and she's making great, great music. And Phil is obviously a very accomplished musician, composer. And he's a co-producer on it. So first of all, tell us about the song, Nita. Tell me all about what kind of music it is. I know you guys make more new agey stuff. So tell us about that. Mm-hmm. And also then tell us about how you guys started working together and stuff like that. So go for it.
Well, Lighthouse is more of like a singer-songwriter kind of feeling. It was written for my mother for her birthday. It was her present. She had been asking me for years at this point to write her a song. And it's not that I didn't want to. It's that I was never able to find the words to express exactly how I felt for her.
Okay.
And so I went, you know, so long just trying to write something, would write something and then would toss it, would write something and would toss it. And then the imagery for a lighthouse kind of came to me after I was given like a journal. And I wrote the song within like 30 minutes and it took me another 30 minutes to write the guitar line.
Nice.
It's not me playing the guitar on the song. I wish. I'm not that good of a guitar player yet. The one playing the guitar is Mr. Ari Gatan, who's a very talented musician.
Okay.
And my mother is actually on the bass.
Your mom plays the bass? Wow.
Yes, she was a professional bass player in New Orleans.
So. That's amazing. So what kind of song is it? Is it a jazz song? Is it pop song? What is it?
It's more like singer-songwriter pop, mm-hmm. I would say. It's more the style of the song. I really had a lot of fun making it. And you know, Justine Blazer did the mixing and she also added some things to it that I really, in my head, I wasn't imagining exactly, but the way she added it was, it sounded like it was supposed to be the entire time.
Nice.
So talented.
I know
she's
Justine.
So amazing.
I know Justine. Yeah,
yes.
We met personally as well. So, how did you get in touch with these guys? I mean, how did you start working with, first of all, Phil and Justine and all of these people? How did you sort of get into that circle?
Well, Phil is actually my piano teacher. He was my piano coach first. We met on like an online education platform,
mm-hmm.
Because he lives in New York, so obviously we weren't right. going over there every time I had to take a piano lesson.
That would be cool, though, wouldn't it?
It would be cool.
Let's fly to New
cool.
York for a piano lesson tonight.
Yeah,
you know, that would be really good.
Road trip.
Cool.
That would be fun. But no, actually, I started off as my piano teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't start voice until a couple months later, and he liked my voice, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
And he invited me to sing on his original song called There's a World.
Right.
And that was the first single that we've ever had released. And I remember I was so excited. I almost couldn't believe that it was real.
Right.
Because it's always been my dream to make music, to sing,
yeah.
To be a recording artist. And then There's a World, the album came out, and that was originally supposed to be a compilation album.
Mm-hmm.
But some things didn't end up working out. And so Phil just decided that it should be my album. And I'm so grateful to Phil for taking me under his wing.
Oh, fantastic. So Lighthouse is just a single though, right? It's not a full album, is it?
Yes, just a single, yeah.
Right. And yeah. Are you working on a full album as well?
I am, actually, yes.
Oh, that's very good.
I still have to get some of my ducks in the row, but I am working on it.
Right. And Phil, did you play the piano on the song?
I actually did not play the piano on this song. So okay. This was actually Justine added. I took more of a backseat in the production on this one.
Okay.
I've been training Nita the last few years to be a producer, and this was just her first project where she took the lead. So she was involved in a lot of the putting together of the project.
Okay.
My end was to be supportive with her on the song, and I did work a lot on the vocals with her on this one.
Nita, don't you think it's a bit too early for you to start getting into production? Because
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Phil, I don't think I realized it when we first started working together, but Phil's kind of always been training me to do producing and to be a producer.
Fantastic.
Even in the beginning when we were doing There's a World. When we were doing There's a World, mm-hmm. I was always involved in like the actual editing of the vocals.
Uh-huh.
He would let me help him pick which vocals or which parts would go into the comp.
Super.
Yeah, he's always been training me to kind of step into that producer role, and he also taught me to listen to my voice objectively, which is I know from experience is very very hard. Because sometimes you're your own worst critic. But I'm very grateful to Phil for being able to teach me these skills.
Because I was just thinking, because as a songwriter, as a singer songwriter, initially, it's more about concentrating on the song and how you want to sing it and stuff like that. Because mm-hmm. when you get into production, it's the other side of the brain. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking that might go against you performing to your final ability. But if you've got a mentor like Phil, you're in good hands, you know, so that's good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Phil, go on, Nita. Go on.
Oh, no, I wanted to mention that since we are, I'm in the South and he's in the North, I've always done my own engineer work over here.
Oh, yeah.
It's just easier that way than him having to, you know, we have to buy some sort of program that doesn't work half the time so that he can control whatever's happening over here.
Right.
It was just easier that way.
Oh, that's good. So I'm a big technological guy. Like, I like technology. I like Pro 2. I mean, all the Pro Audio and guitars. And I'm like proper nerd when it comes to that stuff. So since you're into engineering at such a young age, like what I did, I was into that when I was like 13, you know, or even earlier. I wanted a recording studio. And I had my first studio when I was like 17 years old. I literally was working with the biggest advertising agencies in Dubai. And I was composing jingles. And we were sitting up till 2-3 in the morning. And I was doing my MBA. And at nights, I was sitting with these ad executives from Saatchi & Saatchi and all these guys. And we were composing. But I was also doing all the recording on these old school machines. You know, back in the day, Phil will know this. It was VS-1680s, you know, the Roland machine. Do you remember that, Phil? Do you remember that?
I do,
yeah.
Yes.
For me, man, that was like the ultimate machine, you know, for recordings. And I was like, holy shit, this is good. And I was recording in my dining room and had these ad executives, right? You know, advertising executives, they're crazy fellas. And they were like, I was 18 by then, or 17 or 18. So I was old enough to start partying. With ad agency guys all around me, and in the middle of the night they're drinking their Jack Daniels, and we're working on music for a jingle that's going to be played in 2 days on commercial radio across the freaking Middle East and North Africa and stuff. So I can imagine Nita getting into that. So what kind of equipment are you using, and when did you start, Nita? When did you start doing home recordings and stuff?
Well, I actually do everything in my kitchen too.
Right, there you go.
I used to use Pro Tools. I used to be a big Pro Tools user, but my computer decided to update without my knowledge, and Pro Tools has never worked again on my side. So I've switched to Logic. I've switched to Logic.
You know what?
I'm
glad you moved to Logic. I think Logic is amazing.
Yeah,
it's my favorite.
Logic is really good.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Pro Tools used to crash on me all the time. I don't think I've experienced that once with Logic, so I'm very grateful for that.
You were using Pro Tools on Windows or Mac?
Mac. Yeah.
Does Pro Tools even work on Windows?
I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. I've been a Mac user since I don't even remember. But since Logic is an Apple product anyway, so it's always going to be compatible with the Apple product.
Yeah, it works really well. Yeah. And Phil, what do you use? Is Phil using Logic as well?
He's a Pro Tool user.
I use Pro Tools. I do have Logic for some things, but mostly
Pro Tools. I think Logic is really good for compositions and things like that. Don't you guys agree?
Mm-hmm.
But in the studio for mixing and mastering, I think Pro Tools takes the cake there. I mean, they're really good
with
the final mixes and all that kind of stuff. So my engineers who I work with in the major studios, in all the big studios here, they only do Pro Tools. So do you guys like share your files as AIFF files or something like that, or just WAV files?
No, I just bounce everything out
just
WAV.
Just as WAV files, yeah, cool.
Yes, it's easier that way.
We use Dropbox.
Oh, Dropbox, yeah, cool.
Yeah, Dropbox, we share the files by a Dropbox, and then we edit here or share screen on Zoom, and, you know, we kind of work together that way.
Nice. I think there are some new softwares now that have come up where you can do collaborations online and keep and record live. Yeah, and there's I can't remember the name. I was reading about it just the other day. And they've gone the other way in terms of latency, you know. So you know how, obviously, you know, when you're working together, say on Pro Tools session or whatever, even a few seconds of latency can mess things up for you, right?
Oh, yeah. So, oh, my God.
Yeah, and especially if, like, totally. Phil's in New York, you're in New Orleans, and if I'm in London and we're all working together, we can't possibly do everything at the same time, right? Online.
No.
But there's this new thing that started where they've gone the opposite in latency. So everything for each user is 2 seconds delayed, right? So you know exactly where you're coming in, which is such a genius idea, man. Because you go, okay, I'm counting in. And you've done 2 bars, and then you're coming in 2 bars, and you know exactly where he's going to be because you know it's 2 bars away or something like that. I think that's how it works. I haven't worked on it, but there have been good reviews, and I've been thinking, holy shit, these guys went the opposite way, and that actually might make sense. You know, it does make sense in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something we should look into for sure.
So, Nita, we should test this out, and we should collaborate with Ollie.
Hell yeah, let's do that. Let's freaking do that. So, Nita, you play guitar as well? You play guitar, don't you?
Oh, God. I play a little bit of guitar. I'm not great at it yet. Okay.
Do you love the guitar? I do.
I love the guitar.
good.
I also play piano. Better at piano than I am at guitar. Let's just say that.
Okay, but for me, it's more important that you love the guitar because then you're more of a special guest on my show because I'm a guitar player. You know what I mean?
Ah, I see. Then yes, I do love the guitar.
So if you love the guitar, I'm gonna see you more favorably than I'll see Phil, for example, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
right. So, you know, I started out guitar like when I was 8 years old. And now I literally need a separate house to stock all my guitars and amplifiers. It's terrible. It's really terrible.
I feel like I've met you before. Yeah? I feel like I've known somebody like this before. Yes.
It is a problem. Yeah, I have a problem. I buy too many guitars.
Well, okay, you know what? You could have a lot worse problems.
Yeah.
than
I'm a guitar addict. Guitars. Okay, I've said it out loud. Yes. Okay, I'm a guitar addict. That's it. I've said it.
Doesn't seem like that bad of a problem.
It's not a bad problem at all, unless you buy so many guitars that you need a new house just to house the guitars. That becomes a problem. Which is actually...
Well, they need somewhere to live.
True. Which is one of the reasons I'm starting this music lounge. Because the secret reason is I'll have a place to store all my guitars where everyone can see them every day. So that is the reason, actually. So, no, I'm just
saying. They would constantly be loved.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's going to come and go, oh, wow, is that good? Because I do buy... the reason... I buy very expensive guitars now. Like, I buy these one-off guitars, custom-made guitars, because when I started out, I couldn't afford a good guitar, right? So when I started out as a kid, my mom had to take a loan to buy me a cheap-ass guitar, which was so bad that I had to tune it up after every song when I was doing live gigs. It was horrible, the electric guitar. And my acoustic guitar that I had, that, again, was a cheap guitar, was so, it was like a baseball bat that you hold on the left card, and the strings were like, you know how you have a high action? I mean, think high action and multiply by that by five, you know? So, but I think I became a better guitar player because of those things, you know, because I had to. But also another reason, I spend all my money buying guitars now. You know, I think that had something to do with it. Because as soon as I could start affording to buy guitars, that's it. I spent all my money on that. And well, let's hope you don't do that. But it's a fun thing to do, I'll tell you, if you can afford it.
It's freaking great.
So are you working on anything else aside from, obviously, as an independent artist, you soon got to learn that half the time goes in promoting yourself and your songs, you know. Which is good, but it's also a shame it takes away time from you making music. You know what I mean? But how are you dealing with that? How are you dealing with that? Does that get to you? I mean, are you excited about it, or is it like I wish I had someone else to do it?
Well, I've always been kind of awkward speaking about myself, and you know, Phil does a lot of the promotion, and which again, I'm very thankful. I do some of it, you know. I mean, I do some of my own like promotion and things like that. But it's hard because I'm a little bit socially awkward when it comes to things like that.
Do you? I wouldn't have said that.
I've really grown over the past few years, but that I haven't really changed on.
I mean, you're like, what's your gen called? Gen Z or what is it? I don't know.
Gen Z.
You're the Gen Z.
I'm Gen Z.
I mean, you guys have grown up with social media. Without social media, you guys don't exist, right? So, so do you spend a lot of time on social media?
I'm homeschooled, so I do spend a lot of time on just like devices in general.
Okay.
I try not to spend so much time on social media, but I do like watching like little Instagram shorts and things like that.
Okay, you spend a lot of time on TikTok? You spend a lot of time on TikTok?
Oh no.
Okay.
No.
Okay, the reason
I don't have TikTok.
Okay, the reason I bring TikTok up for musicians right now, because as a record label, we own quite a big record label and a music marketing company, you know. And we work closely with Billboard and all these guys. And recently I was talking to someone from Billboard. He was like, Ollie, if you don't spend time on TikTok now, you're going to lose out, because there are some special charts now with Billboard linked in with TikTok, if you can believe that. You know?
Oh, yeah. I've heard that a lot of people have been discovered on TikTok.
Yeah, forget about discovering. Yeah. I mean, just hit, like, as an independent artist, you want to get on massive charts like Billboard, for example, which is the ultimate for all the artists, you know. Like, I wouldn't have ever considered TikTok, you know. But apparently now they're counting a lot of stuff from TikTok officially for the national charts.
Huh.
So for guys like me or Phil even, I mean, I hate social media. I mean, I just go on social media to do my live stuff or put my music out for my fans, right? But I was talking to Kit Wakely yesterday, the Grammy winning artist, who's a very close friend of mine.
We
were talking about social media, and I was like, bro, how do you do it? I mean, because I see Kit and I see even Phil, I think. Tell me if I'm wrong, Phil. But these guys are always there and, you know, commenting and liking the other our other friends and things like that, and you know, being social. And I'm like, people think I'm social on social media, but I'm not. I mean, I just go there to put my stuff for my fans and I'm out of there. Like, I'm not gonna sit there commenting and liking the other musicians' posts. Not that I don't want to, it's just that I don't do it. That's not my thing, right? And then musicians go, oh, he doesn't give a shit about my music. It's not true at all. I'd rather sit and have a long conversation on my radio show with you, you know what I mean? Rather than just go online and do it. So how do you manage that, man? I mean, is it something you have to force yourself to do, or is it become something that you just do, you know?
It's just something that I just do now. It's just a part of what I do within my work for the day. I do take time to have conversations with these people too, just to have like those like one-off conversations, because you know that's where you kind of build your networking or your like relationships with mm-hmm. your peers, and you know it's just part of just building that network for support for yourself or for other people too. And I've discovered so much great music that way, and you know, lifelong friends that way too. And and you know, I've been very good at multitasking,
right?
So to me it's just part of what I do, and I like having just those communications with people, and you know, building those relationships.
Cool.
So
yeah, for Nita, it's going to be very, very easy, because that's your world, isn't it, Nita?
Oh, like the internet age? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess. I've never really known anything different. Yeah.
Exactly. So with the way the music industry is going, I mean, I think it's really going to help you make more connections, I suppose, you know, online, and because everyone now is online, like everybody does the mm-hmm. messaging and the...
Oh, yeah. If you're not online, I think you miss out on a lot of opportunities.
Right. That's a sad situation about social media. Maybe you have to talk about bloody social media rather than music, you know. But yeah, Phil, what are you working on? You and Nita, are you working on any other project together?
Yeah, we have a few projects that we're working on together. I have a couple releases that are coming out this summer, and some fantastic collaborations, mm-hmm. and we're working on Nita's album as well, and I'm working on another album for myself that is going to be available probably next year.
Okay.
But yeah, a lot of things on the fire right now.
And that song that I played of yours a few months ago, was that with collaboration with Nita, or was it just your single? I don't remember.
I sent you Carol of the Bells, and that one...
That was for the Grammys, wasn't it? And I played it before the Grammys, during the FIC period, to promote your song.
That was from the album Aquarius Rising. And yeah, Nita was on Time to Say Goodbye, and we did collaborate on that one, yeah.
Yeah, and after that, it was a Christmas song, I think. That was Carol of the Bells.
I released that song in December, but yeah, you're thinking of Time to Say Goodbye.
Time to Say Goodbye, that's the one. And Nita was on that as well. What did you do on that, Nita?
I was singing in Italian.
Do you speak Italian?
In Italian, I do not. My family is Italian. My name is actually Italian, but I do not speak Italian.
Hang on, Perez is not Italian. Perez is Spanish.
My first name is Italian.
Nita is Italian, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's short for Benedetta.
Oh, I see. I got you. So you don't speak any Italian, though?
I'm trying to learn, but I don't speak Italian.
Just watch Godfather and just speak English with an Italian accent. It'll be fine, you know.
Yeah.
And I think Phil has a lot of experience with that, because he lives in New York. So you got a lot of those Italian guys talking with that accent.
Yes.
Well, my duet partner, Frank Fasano, he speaks Italian, I'm pretty sure. He's Italian.
Who's Frank again? Who's Frank again?
He also sang on Time to Say Goodbye.
Oh, did he? Okay, great.
It was a duet.
Yeah, it was a duet. Right. So, Phil, I wanted to ask you, and also Nita, what do you think about the situation with the Grammys? And do you think the independent artists are sidelined most of the time, or is it changing now and we have more of a voice? Or do you think the voice is just for appearances, but in the... Right when it comes to the deep of it, it's all about the major labels and what they decide. Do you think that's true, or do you think that's just not true? Oh, he's really thinking about that one. He's really thinking about that one. Come on, man. Don't worry, man. Don't worry. My show is loved by everybody, including Harry. So it's all good. Don't worry.
Well, I don't. I don't know, man. Sure you want to go down that rabbit hole?
Why the hell not, man? Yesterday, I spoke to Kit, who obviously has a positive outlook because he won a Grammy, you know, as an independent artist.
Right.
And the day before that, I spoke with Lonnie, who's a Grammy-winning producer. He's got mixed feelings. But then I spoke the day before that with Natalie, my dear friend Natalie Jean. And she's been a big part of, you know, the chapters in Maryland and all of that. And she has a complete negative view of how it works, you know. Like most of the independent artists who do have a negative view when it comes to not being allowed to do certain things where the major labels can do it left, right, and center, you know. But then again, well, yeah, go on, Nita. Go on.
Oh, sorry. Well, Phil and I definitely had a very interesting perspective on how the Grammys were arranged this year.
Go on.
Or last year, I should say. Yeah. I Phil, if you want to expand upon that, I'm kind of new to the whole Grammys thing.
Yeah. Phil so thinks he's gonna step on toes. Don't worry, man. You're not gonna step on anyone's toes. It's all good.
It's just really about integrity, and there's a lot of things that are not necessarily in integrity. And once you kind of come away from that, and you make exceptions or you make exceptions, then it almost kind of waters down just what. Let's say the Grammys, I mean, this could be anything, mm-hmm. but it kind of waters down whatever that is. And if everybody is playing within the same rules or guidelines, mm-hmm. then the merits actually mean more.
But and, nobody is playing by the rules, are they, Phil? That's the thing.
Right. Like, for instance, like my category for Aquarius Rising was confirmed in classical. Like right. It was confirmed on the 27th mm-hmm. of September that it was going to be in the. And then 2 days before the ballot came out, mm-hmm. I was moved to New Age.
Exactly.
And so many of us on the independent side were moved and. Exactly. And so I had to take the steps to just promote even more during that time period within those last 2 days to just mm-hmm. remind people. Yeah. And that's something that, let's say, the major labels don't, mm-hmm. like, they almost don't play by the same set of rules. True. And, yep. like, if you're doing advertisements and you're having things that are confirmed,
yep.
then, you know, it does have like a big hit yeah. on us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if everybody was playing by the same rules, mm-hmm. then like we wouldn't be having to kind of fend mm-hmm. our way within like yeah. those areas. And that's that kind of sucks within what we're doing. And if we say anything, then we could be outed or, you know, we can, it's just different. It's almost like we have a different set of rules, even exactly. though we're.
And what my gripe is the fact that majority of voters and what that Grammy runs on is us, independent musicians, you know? But I do understand that the major categories, like pop, rock, which I had a problem with being that there's no chance for an independent unless he's got millions of dollars riding on a song or a video or an album, right? And they need those majors to sell or to get CBS for people to tune in. Of course, I must say a lot of people are not tuning in anymore, but that's besides the point. So that's fine. But what about the fact, right? What about the fact that these people, right? As you said, this is what I wanted to get to, that you were switched to another category. The people, yeah. now we are given status as Grammy voting members because we are experts. I'm putting the quotes there. Experts at what we do best, right? Like, you're an expert in your field, which is why they've given you the Grammy voting membership. Especially in those fields as well, like, you know, you like whatever your thing is. However, when you go, yeah, I put it in classical because I'm a classical musician and I think as a producer, blah, 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 I've been doing this for freaking 20 years and I'm pretty good at music, and I've had my accolades, whatever. I'm a hypothetical situation, yeah. And some guy or two people sitting in this room, wherever they're sitting, and they go, no, let's put this one in New Age, or let's put this in, I don't know, Americana, whatever. So those people are more expert than you? You know what I'm trying to say?
Here.
Are you more expert than, say, me, who's been doing this for almost 30 years, who's had nominations with MTV EMAs and VH1 Top 10s and Billboard Top 10s, and some guy who's a freaking graduate, just finished his schooling and he's working as an intern in to segregate entries and goes, nah, this is not country, man. Let's put this for Americana or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to give you an example. How does that work? I mean, who is checking to see that the people who have done that are actually experts more than the musician himself who has submitted that entry? Do you get me?
I do. I think that in some cases, you have people that are working from integrity, and you have ones that they don't. Like if let's say they have something that is in the running that might be a confliction with your release, then you know maybe it would be moved. Like nobody is really being held
to account.
Accountable.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a lot of the independent voices are not being heard or respected or given that respect.
Correct. But also what I want to get to, especially because Nita's on the show, you know, she's a young musician. This is something you need to avoid getting into. At least that's this would be my advice to you. As someone who's been a Grammy mentor now for years with several different young musicians and stuff like that, and owns a label stuff,
yes,
you know, what happens is you get into this mindset that goes, I'm going to make a song that's like this just so that I can have a chance to win a Grammy. You get me? And once you get into that mindset, you start losing out on yourself as a musician and who you are as a musician.
Oh, yeah.
And you really need to stop yourself from getting into that groove. You know, I think Phil will agree with me. That is something you need to work
absolutely
very, very hard to avoid doing. Because you'll be like, oh, you know what? I have no chance to make a classical whatever. I'm not a classical musician. But, oh, I don't want to make this classical thing because there's no chance in hell because of the gatekeepers that I'll be able to get a Grammy. Who gives a shit? You make your music for yourself, for your fans. You know what I mean? You just do it. And don't let this, I don't want to use the wrong words because I don't want to, I'm already stamping on a lot of toes.
Life is not always about the awards.
Hey, there are other awards. There are other legitimate awards that will make you feel great about yourself, you know? And to be fair, a lot of these mainstream awards are now losing their sheen, even with fans. Like, I have fans in the UK who don't tune into stuff, and they just laugh at what's going on, including the mainstream acts who are now going independent. Like, I'm one of those guys, but, you know, who are completely anti because they know what's going on, you see. So if you do get into a nomination or you win something, that's great for you. Good, you know. Just like it's great to get nominated for the MTV EMAs, which is very difficult for an independent act, or to get on, say, the VH1 or MTV Top 10 or the Billboard Top 10s. Those are things you can actually work towards and get there because your fans get you there. You know what I mean? Like, for example, to get a Billboard Top 10 in the blues album charts, you can only do that if your fans actually go out there, stream your music, download your songs, and the radio stations or whatever, they play your music because they love it, because it's good. It's not a popularity contest. You get me? But I think now, the Grammys, when I was a 10-year-old kid and when I saw AC/DC and George Michael win those Grammys, that was it for me. I was like, oh my God, that is the most amazing thing in the world because this is great stuff. But I realize now it's more a popularity contest than anything else. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Phil?
Yeah.
in terms of popularity? Yeah. I mean, hey, get your peers to really know, like, do a lot of marketing, do a lot of promotions. If you don't do enough marketing promotions, no matter how good your song is, you ain't gonna get nothing out of there, you know. So, well, I'm hoping chats like this will change mindsets of a lot of musicians in the end, you know. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my two bits. My rant. Woohoo! Go on, Phil. Go on.
At the end, it's really about the music and like
exactly
you said, what you put out for your fans, because the fans are going to be there to support or to hear you for that long duration and so like that's where you have to keep your mindset like and be true to yourself and just your creativity
and don't try to impress the group of friends who are now Grammy voting members or whatever. Don't try to impress them with your music. Impress yourself and your fans with your music, which is the most important. Yeah. And that way, automatically, people will get in line for your music, you know? And because there are, voting members like me, like Phil, who do it for the real reason, who love music for what it is and who vote for the real reason they want to be Grammy voting members, you know? And those are the people who you don't have to impress. They will just vote for you or they will support you if they can see the integrity in you as a musician. At least that's what I hope to God, because that's how I think, you know? And I think that's all you gotta impress the universe with your music, because that's where it comes from, you know? Hey, I'm getting all like philosophical.
Definitely, yeah,
now.
Definitely. No, I love it.
Cool.
We love it.
Cool. What else are you into, Nisa, aside from music? I know. Right now it's only about music, but I'm sure you need an outlet, you know. So what else are you into?
Oh, I'm into all kinds of things. I like science. Well, my mom is a big inspiration in my life. She's a geologist, and so I am hoping. Yeah, she has a master's in geophysics from LSU. So I'm hoping to go into biology actually.
Okay.
As well.
Nice. Yeah. So that's another interest of yours, biology and science, basically. Yeah. I suck at science, but can you tell me, paleontologists are part of the geological sphere of the scientific community?
Yes, they are. They are. Wow. There's a couple different types of geology. They have mineralogy. My mother specialized in finding petroleum.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Which right? She didn't end up liking it. She wanted to be environmental science actually, but they didn't have that at the school where she went at the time.
Okay.
So she wasn't able to do it. She didn't like it. But they also have paleontology, which you know is a part of finding like petroleum gas and things like that. Because
fossil fields. Yeah, of course.
Obviously. Yeah. But she really likes paleontology. We have a bunch of fossils in our shop.
Nice. Shop. Tell me more.
Yeah. Oh yeah, well we have that's my dog.
Oh, I was about to ask you, what's the name of your dog?
His name is Song Dot. Yeah, I was really young when I named him.
His name is what?
Song Dot, yeah.
How do you spell that? I can't.
S-O-N-G-D-O-T. When he was a puppy, he used to sing in the morning, and he has spots all over. He's a Doggo Argentino. He's huge, but he has spots all over him.
Oh, so cool.
So that's what I named him when I was, like, six.
How old is he now?
He's old now. Oh, he's 11, I think.
He's 11, okay. I'm a big dog guy.
11.
I think if you see my social media, it's only about dogs and my dog. And, like, I literally can't... I have a home studio as well, which is upstairs above my house, which is a separate entrance and stuff. But my dog, who's a big German Shepherd, he doesn't like those stairs because they're a bit steep. So he doesn't come upstairs. And I need to be with my dog as much as possible, right? When I'm making music or whatever, and even when I'm working my office stuff, like the record label stuff, I'll do everything downstairs now. And I've moved the office by the pool house so that he can be there with me. And when I come up to the studio to work, I'm doing things as fast as I can just so I can go back down to be with him. It's that bad.
You know,
so I'm a crazy, crazy dog lover. I mean, they just mean the world to my animals. Yeah. Phil, do you have a dog or a cat?
Oh, we have a cat here.
You have a cat?
And
oh, cool.
We have, yeah, we have a cat, and we have like two cats that adopted us that are outside cats. So
yeah, that's what it is with cats.
They flock to us.
They adopt you. It's not the other way around with cats.
Yes. Yeah.
My cat's Ginger, who basically just came in and goes, yeah, that's it. This is my house now. And that was it.
Totally.
He owns the bloody place. It's crazy, man. Right
totally.
On.
Totally.
Right on. So Nita, do you wanna plug in your social media to fans who are listening in?
Oh, sure.
New
yeah.
fans?
So my Instagram account is Nita Perez 007, and that's 007. Sorry, mm-hmm. I say 007. Like I'm a spy. No, but 007. I think my Facebook is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find me on almost any streaming service with Nita Perez. Okay. So great to meet you, Ali.
It was great, Nita. And also, I wanted to ask you, why 007? Are you a big James Bond fan?
No, it's my birth year. So okay. My mom, it's my birth year. I was born in 07, right. So I just always say 007.
The thing is, I always, we do a lot of artist development as well, but some acts have become really big. And they started out with, social media account handles, right? With it would be like Nita Perez _123 minus whatever. You know what I mean?
That'd
be like,
yeah.
Dude, how is a fan gonna find you? You know, it should just be like Phil Kanakis music. You know, that's it. And you know you're gonna find it or whatever. Like Nita Perez, there might be 20 other Nita Perez's, but Nita Perez music. Yeah. I don't think there's anyone else with that username, and that gets your social media really jumping really high. At least that's the advice we give out. So have you ever considered doing that? Like, getting your hands on that very iconic sort of social media handle across all the social medias, like Nita Perez Music, for example.
Yeah, I could.
That would really work.
That is a good idea.
Phil, what's your handle? Is it Phil Kanakis Music, isn't it? Oh, God, don't tell me there's an underscore, man. Please tell me there's no underscore.
No. For me, Instagram, it's Turn Up the Peas.
Oh, geez, go on.
Yeah.
Okay, and Facebook?
But, yeah.
Well, Facebook is something else. Come on.
I'm so bad. No. Facebook is Philip Kanakis.
Okay.
And I do have Turn Up the Peas too, but.
Okay. Would you ever look for John Bon Jovi 007 -24? Would you ever do that? No. Right?
I think if you were searching for Bon Jovi, I think if you just put Bon Jovi in there, it would come up.
That's exactly,
I think it's pretty distinctive
that's
name.
That's exactly my point. You want to take control of your name and make it, hey, if I'm looking for Nita Perez, all I got to put is Nita Perez and it's going to come up, you know? And that way, Nita Perez music is yours. And they go, Nita Perez, and as soon as 20 come up, but when they see that name music next to you, they go, oh, that's her, you know? I think that makes sense. Doesn't it make sense, Phil? What do you think?
It does. It totally does.
It totally does. Go do that now. Just
I will. I was so bad with Instagram.
Yeah.
I was so bad with Instagram. I'm starting to kind of get into it more. So yeah.
Like my company, they have this this new service that they offer now. I mean, aside from the music side, there's this social media campaign for musicians, right? And it's like a 3-month thing that we do. And we get them to change their usernames, especially the ones with the underscores. I love that name, underscore. Like if a musician has an underscore, we call him the underscore musician group, you know? That's a really good one. So there are these campaigns that we run now for social media. And, man, you should see the amount of followers these guys get as soon as we make these subtle changes, you know, and get them to post stuff every couple of days and do the right kind of thing. And it's like concentrate on your music, or even if you put a personal post, you've got the music that's backing that post, because now you can put music even on a photograph, right? Like on Instagram and Facebook or whatever. And it's always your music. So that way, not only are you promoting yourself as whoever you are, but your music is making money every time you put a post out, you know? And it's also helping with your charting and all that. It's so much, man. The entire industry is changing by the minute. Anyway, it was a great chat, and I hope I haven't...
Great to meet you, Ali.
Great to meet you, Nita. And Phil, sorry for making you uncomfortable, man, but that's what I love doing to you. So,
no,
you know.
No, That's all good. Thank you so much again for doing this and for having us on.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. And as soon as you guys have something new coming out, I'm gonna get you back on the show. And also, as I said, when that lounge kicks off, I want you guys to take a flight to Portugal for our big events that we're gonna be having, and you guys come perform, man. It'll be fantastic.
Would love to.
Sounds great.
Excellent.
And, Portugal is beautiful.
It is beautiful. And also, we have a tour that we do every year in the UK called the WOA Summer Tour. So this year, we're having it third weekend of August. We've got music, all bands from America, Canada coming down. Maybe next year, when Nita is doing more gigs and Phil and you guys want to perform live, we can get you on that tour. You know, come down, do the festival, do a couple of gigs in the UK. That'll be great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is awesome. getting artists to for the tour, you know, the official sort of, we work with VH1 and MTV. So they promote that in a big way in the UK. And then I get the musicians to come to Portugal because it's really cheap flying from UK to Portugal. And then come to Portugal and we have this massive after party event at Oliver Sean's lounge. How cool is that, man? That sounds really good, doesn't it? It's a big plan we've got.
It does.
So I'm hoping you guys can. I'm hoping you guys can, you know, be part of that with me. It'll be really good, really good. Right, folks. Good to have you on the show, and everybody. We're going to be playing "Lighthouse" by Nita Perez coming up in a minute. Yay! So stick around for that wonderful song, Nita. Great to have you on the show, Phil. Thanks for being
so nice
on the show,
Mike. Thank you. Have a great one.
You too. Bye, everybody.
My North Star, my flashlight. You're my breakfast every morning.
Alan Gruner, and you are tuned in to the WOAFM 99 show with Oliver Sean. Stay tuned to hear my new single, Jill Hunt singing When the Sun Comes Up, which will be featured on the multiple number one chart-topping compilation series, Goa Chill Out Zone Volume 13. Woo!
I'm going insane. I've forgotten my name. No matter.